Grassy Posse Packer Nation. Welcome to another episode of Packcast, the podcast where you don't have to be a Packers fan, but it sure does help. I'm your host, Tom Grassy, and boy, oh boy, Packers fans, this week we are sweating a little bit like we're in that Miami heat, but we'll actually be in Green Bay as we take on the Miami Dolphins. And listen, if we lose this game, like the dolphins swim in the sea, I will swim in a bath full of toasters and other electronic equipment, whatever will get the job done to ease this pain of this season. But before we get to that, we still have to go to through the Dolphins, and that means that we have a Dolphins fan on with us today. He's a very good friend of mine, very good friend of the show, Mr. Joe Siano. Joe, how you doing, buddy? Thank you so much for joining. Oh, look at that.
I am excited. I'm ready to run out of that, you know, giant dolphin helmet-shaped tunnel and right onto this podcast.
That's it. Literally, you're like jumping out of the Atlantic, and you're like, I am here. Let's
And I am
it.
Really cold because it is November.
It is quite freezing there. Yeah.
That water is chilly.
Yes, absolutely. But thank you for coming on the show. It's, you know, it's funny because we were talking about this before, like, The Dolphins and Packers don't really meet too often. If I'm not mistaken, like when we were in college together, that was
the last time. Yeah, and that was not – what was the score of that game? It was something super low scoring.
Yeah, well, the one when we were in college, if I'm not mistaken, you guys, like, it was like an overtime game because like Aaron Rodgers got like knocked out of the game, if I'm not mistaken. And I could be completely misremembering this. I feel like Rodgers got hurt and it went to overtime and you guys won. I think
I just remember we won and you had to, like, you know, suck it for, you know, like a good week.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, it was.
And we were not good.
No. Yeah, that sounds about right. That sounds like the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah, Chad, you know, Chad Henne forever, man. He's the next Dan Marino.
Yeah, that's, oh god, Chad Henne. Okay, and we're gonna talk all about the quarterback issues that plagued the Miami Dolphins. We'll get there. We will get
there. Oh, they're something special.
There, yes, it is the 12th. It's just like the apocalypse upon the quarterback position. But that's just Jay Cutler. Let's talk about something lighter real quick. And that is how you became a Miami Dolphins fan. And all right, it's not Ace Ventura, Pet Detective. I would have thought Laces Out, Finkel is Ihorn, Ihorn is Finkel, but it is not. So explain to me how you, as a man, were like, the Dolphins, that's my ride.
These are my team. This is I am an aquatic mammal. What can you swim?
Just spirit animal.
All right. Okay. So my origin story into the Miami Dolphins actually has nothing to do with Ace Ventura, Pet Detective. It's, you know, my friend actually has a Ray Finkel jersey.
Oh, that's phenomenal.
Oh, he wears it to inappropriate sporting events all the time. Like, I'll invite him to, like, a hockey game, and he'll wear, like, that jersey. I'm like, man, what the hell are you doing?
Oh, that's beautiful.
But it's great. It's a great jersey.
Yeah.
So nothing with Ace Ventura. So my love of Miami Dolphins has everything to do with me being like 4 years old. And this is just a testament to like marketing and everything. Cause as a 4 year old, I really, you know, had no idea what a jet or like a giant was. Like, I knew like they were things. But the Dolphins are just so much more visually interesting, and I could tell, like, you know, as a 4 year old, like, I know what a dolphin is. I can look at them. I see the logo. I see the dolphin, you know, with thinking safety first with its helmet, being like, yeah, let's play football. Whereas, like, the Jets and Giants, like, you know, if you look back at their 90s logos, you know, it's just Giants, the letter.
Just hot garbage.
And Jets, the letters, like, you know, spelling it out. So it's like a 4 year old who can't read, you know, the choice was made for me.
Yeah, that again, so like whoever came up with the advertising obviously wasn't keeping 4 year olds in mind, and that
marketing is important, believe it or not.
Yeah, and that was their mistake.
I can tell you the first game I ever watched. You know, it's a pretty back and forth game. Like, I have like a few like memories of it, but the strongest memory I have is my mom, who is a diehard Jets fan, like, used to be a season ticket holder, like, dating all the way back to Shea Stadium. The game's not over. We go in the car, and we're going to Dairy Barn, which, depending on where you live, will mean everything to you or mean nothing to you. It's like a drive-through, like, grocery place.
Mm-hmm.
I just remember being in the back seat and her screaming, like, what do you mean the Jets lost? It was the day of the Dan Marino spike play.
Oh, yes.
And from that day forward, that glorious day forward, I was a Miami Dolphins fan.
That's glorious.
And we have never looked back, and my mom had to swallow her pride that her son was a, like, Miami Dolphins fan.
Yeah. I mean, like, oh. Like, that house, I mean, like, between the Jets, the Giants have had more successes, you know, in the past, like, decade-ish than the Jets. They went to the two AFC championship games, but yikes. Okay.
We're kind of like a house divided. My older brother was a Seahawks fan growing up, Ooh. And my younger brother is a San Diego Chargers fan.
Well, that's out of left field. Okay.
So we are... We are house divided, but we're all very friendly. It's all pretty much fun.
Which is okay. We're friends.
My mom's never thrown me out of the house yet. It's fine.
That's fine.
I'm not in her will anymore, but, like, you know, it's okay.
It's fine.
Exactly.
Listen, you know, and then, you know, you just be like, it's okay, Mom. Like, you know,
both have no quarterbacks.
Exactly. Like, we're in the same boat together. The Dolphins. They're going through something. Let's address quarterback first out of all the issues that we'll talk about.
Let's do it. This is what there are.
So you have the greatest Packers quarterback of all time, Jay Cutler, on your team for a little bit. So that
absolutely. Yeah.
And that obviously was like the highlight of your Dolphin fandom, just having that kind of remarkable Canton talent.
I was stupidly like, be like, oh, okay, this could maybe work, because I went to training camp. I just have these dreams of him throwing deep bombs to, like, Kenny Stills, and, you know, beautiful, like, you know, 20-yard passes to, like, you know, Devontae Parker, and we did none of that.
No,
we refused to let him, like Jay Cutler on the Miami Dolphins was that girl who's really nice that you go on a date with, and, like, you make small talk, and, like, it's polite, but you know she's not the one. That was Jay Cutler, where, like a few games, I could just tell, like, listen, this isn't working out.
Yeah, like, we should see other teams.
You are. You're nice. You tried. Like, I don't hate you, but we need to see other people.
All that, like, kind of put aside, you know, you Brock Osweiler's filling in when he has to, but when you draft Ryan Tannehill, you have this goal, and hopefully this guy's going to be the franchise quarterback. Injuries aside, based on his current play, you know, over the past couple seasons.
Yes.
As a Dolphins fan, do you still think he is that guy, or is ever going to live up to being that franchise player that you need him to be?
Yeah, the Ryan Tannehill question is the hardest question to answer. I think because I don't want to say ruined his development, but his development was probably a lot slower coming because we didn't do a lot to protect him. I think he was one of the most sacked quarterbacks, like, you know, very early on in his career. Mm-hmm. I just have memories of him being murdered in the 2013 season, because that was the very famous draft where we moved up three spots, I think, to take I think Deion Jordan at the number three spot instead of an offensive lineman we desperately needed.
Yeah.
And that was also the Bullygate season. So he literally had his offensive line just crumble around him as he's trying to make the playoffs. And, you know, he's had other good seasons. Statistically, he's very good. Great with the deep ball. Like, if you're asking what we're missing right now between Brock Osweiler and Ryan Tannehill, mm-hmm. Ryan Tannehill's ability to do the accurate deep ball is just phenomenal. Him and Kenny Stills have great chemistry. He's a leader. He's mobile. But, like, the question, like, is he the future? Is he, like, the guy? I always thought he could be, and I'm really sad that this question is still kind of up in the air because of the injuries. In 2016, it really looked like he was on track to becoming, you know, the quarterback that we kind of always hoped and dreamed he could be.
Yeah.
And it just, you know, once the knee injury happened, it got, you know, cut short, and I just remember tearing up just, like, a little bit, you know, seeing him on the sideline, and when you saw him on the sideline, like, you would have thought somebody died.
Yeah.
You would have thought somebody told, like, Ryan Tannehill, oh, hey, you're dead. Because, like, everyone's coming up to him and, like, hugging him and just, like, sad faces everywhere. And I felt like he almost kind of got like robbed of that, like that vindication moment, because we were going to the playoffs and the team was heading in the right direction.
Yeah.
This was really kind of his moment to prove, you know, all the doubters and, you know, Miami wrong. And, you know, he just never got that moment. And then the 17 season, you know, we were gearing up to, you know, continue the good vibes and, you know, happy times of 2016. You know, the dark days were over.
Yep.
And then, you know, he went down again in training camp. And that was, that whole season was just a complete wash.
Yeah.
In 17. And then in 18, you know, great start to the season. Looks like they're saying he injured his shoulder in the, you know, the Oakland game. And, you know, that's when they lose to, you know, the next game. They lose to, you know, the Patriots. They lose to, you know, Cincinnati, and then he's out. So it's just such a hard question to answer. Like, is it going to be Dan Marino? Like, no, but, like, no one's ever going to be Dan Marino. Dan Marino would have, like, 8 Super Bowls in, like, the modern NFL.
Sure.
But, you know, I think he can be the guy. But the question is, like, will he still be on the team in that time?
Yeah.
The Dolphins, what they love to do is they love to restructure contracts. Instead of me yelling at them, hey, you can't keep kicking down money, you know, years down, this is eventually going to catch up to you. And I think his cap hit next year is going to be like $26 million.
Mm-hmm.
But if they cut him, it's 13. And I'm nervous because I think he's great. I think he's got a couple more years in him. But, you know, the present, you know, the future for this team is right now. You know, their best chance to, you know, put something together is right now with him at quarterback. And they're almost kind of at a crossroads, not just with him, but with the team in general and where they want to go.
Yeah, because, I mean, like, if you're talking about, like, not getting the offensive line help, which is obviously super important, but I feel like the guy also, like, gets robbed of his weapons, right? In that, like, you had Jay Ajayi, who wasn't, again, not, like, a phenomenal back by any stretch of the imagination, but he's gone, right? You also had, oh, my good God, Jarvis Landry.
Jarvis Landry.
Yeah, right? So, like, incredible season. Incredible.
Yeah.
And then he's off in Cleveland now. So I feel like the Dolphins aren't doing him any favors. Like, Devontae Parker was injured at the beginning of the season, you know, and I just, like, when it comes to, like, wide receiver help, when it comes to the backfield, you know, Drake is doing
I'm going to say the wide receiver help is probably a little bit better. Albert Wilson was a phenomenal pickup this year until he got injured.
Mm-hmm.
Amendola, although he wasn't quite clicking with Tannehill immediately, very big surprise. Kenny Stills has always been like the deep ball threat.
Yeah.
He is also definitely a big leader on the team. But I absolutely agree about like Ajayi and North Star Ajayi. We just gave him away.
Yeah. Yeah.
We gave him away to the point where, like, you know, the Eagles are looking for backfield help and they're looking for another like Ajayi deal. And I'm like, you're not going to get one of those because no one else is that dumb.
Well,
no one else is that stupid to give away their Pro Bowl running back for like a third round pick.
Well, and you look at also, like, if I'm not mistaken, the Dolphins have given up some pretty sizable contracts within the past few years, right? Like, with Sue, that was a big one.
I scream at them. Scream at them. I'm like, we don't have this money to, like, get Ndamukong and Sue. And they're like, no, we're going to do it anyway.
And
I'm like, screw you.
They did Mike Wallace, too.
Mike Wallace is a big one. Yeah, they do. They do. They...
Like these...
They try to compete.
Yeah.
The one thing I'll give them credit for is every year for the past 4 years, they have tried to field the best team possible, but they've been very irresponsible in doing it.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that, you know, like you were saying, even with, like, the money thing, like, eventually that's going to come back and haunt the team, you know, because, like, neither of those guys worked out to the way that you wanted them to work out, obviously.
Cap hell is a real thing, and teams find them in it a lot. Like, I know we're going to have a bunch of Ndamukong Suh dead money for the next few years. And because we've restructured Ryan Tannehill's, like, contract, like, I think 2 or 3 times now, his cap hit is going to be much bigger next year than it probably should be, and for the year after that as well.
So, kind of going forward, you're talking about putting the best team on the field as you can. Like, if you had to sum up, like, what this Miami Dolphins team identity is, I'm honestly just genuinely curious of what it would be, because we don't talk about the Dolphins often on the show, but even when we were talking about, like, the season predictions in the very, very beginning, like, I don't know what the Dolphins are. I was stoked when Brock Osweiler beat the Bears. Like, that was great. But I just, I don't know like what team they are. Are they more focused on defense? Are they more focused on offense? Because to me, like, I don't even know if the arrow is going up or down. It just seems like it's like they're there. Like, they're the team that's there. Like,
welcome to Miami, my friend. Welcome to the Miami Dolphins the past, like, you know, 8 years of my life.
Yeah, but you know what I mean, though? It's like the Jets, yeah. Like, the Jets aren't doing well. The Patriots are always, like, you know, going
to
be
but the Jets, they have a direction, though, the Jets.
Correct.
They're going to be young and rebuild and, exactly. You know, acquire draft picks and, you know, build up through the draft.
And it's the same thing with the Bills, right? They got their hopeful, like, franchise quarterback and, you know, they're rebuilding yeah. as well. And then you have the Dolphins.
The Dolphin, my friend used to, you know, send me a message every August 8th and be like, happy 8 and 8 day, like happy Dolphins day, because it'd be August 8th. it'd be 8 and 8. But no, our identity is absolutely incredible. This is a team that was, you know, for the past, you know, 3 years, you know, expected to win now. And they've had setbacks. They've had people underperform. This defense has been, What should be a stronger point in the defense is not. If you ask what our identity is supposed to be, I think we're supposed to be like a strong defensive line with a good secondary, and an offense that's, you know, strong on the run but can certainly throw the ball deep and has, you know, weapons at wide receiver. But right, we've been none of those. Mm-hmm. The defensive line has, you know, I think their last game against the Jets was probably their best game of the season. And that's not saying a whole lot, you know, like, you yeah. know, roughing up Sam Darnold, not the most impressive thing. Like, I loved watching it, but
sure, of course,
but you know, it's not the most impressive thing in the world. Our secondary, just hemorrhaged yards against the Texans on Thursday Night Football. And they're supposed to be a strong suit, mm-hmm. like, you know, McDonald, Rashad Jones, Fitzpatrick, and like, you know, Damian Howard, these are all very talented, you know, defensive backs. And you know, I'm sympathizing with, you know, our defensive runner Matt Burke, who's like screaming and throwing like a clipboard as, you know, the Texans wide receivers are wide open and, you know, just running in for touchdowns.
Yeah.
So we're really kind of all over the place as a team, and our record at 5-4 kind of shows that. We've had a lot of great games, we've had a lot of not great games.
Mm-hmm.
This game against the Jets was probably my dad's watching with me, bless him. And he's just like, this is the most unwatchable game of football I've ever seen in my life. The Miami Dolphins had under 200 yards of total offense in that game. They won on a pick six.
Yeah.
That was the deciding thing.
It's funny because a coworker of mine who is a Jets fan said something very, very similar today, which is why this is very funny. She goes, like, you watch that game, you watch the Jets play, and then you watch, like, the Rams-Saints game, and it's like you're watching two completely different leagues. Like,
I told my dad, I was just like, because we put that on afterwards, and I'm like, why do they have 14 points in the first half, like, yeah. in the first quarter?
Like, what is this?
I'm like, you're not supposed to have, like, why aren't they punting the ball? Like,
what are these double-digit points you speak of?
I don't understand, like, what are these things?
Yeah, it's so all that being said, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you have the season in front of you. You said you're 5-4, right?
Yeah, all that being said, all of the drama and the injuries and the craziness, we are sitting at 5-4 with like 7 games left in the season.
Which isn't the worst
like,
thing.
Right, you know, right in the thick of like the wild card hunt for like the AFC, which is not that strong of a race this year.
No. So, looking ahead at the season before we look at Sunday's game, kind of
okay.
how do you see the rest of this? Do you think that, you know, that they're able to grab that wild card spot? And even if they do, are they, and listen, playoffs are so unpredictable, all you have to do is get into the dance and then, you know, things
yeah.
could go crazy. But do you think the Dolphins right now in 2018 are like primed and ready to go if they get into the playoffs, like watch out mode? Kind of like where are you at with that?
Man, I think they did. I think at the start of the season, my friend, he always, you know, presses me for like, all right, what are you picking for the season?
Mm-hmm.
I said 10-6 with playoffs. Heart said 10-6. Head said 9-7. If you look at like our schedule coming up, we still have 2 games against the Bills, 1 against the Colts. I mean, that should bring us to 8 right there. And then ideally, we have to steal probably 2 games against you guys, the Packers, the Vikings, the Jaguars, and the Patriots at home. We'd have to steal one of those games, maybe 2, to like really shore up a playoff spot. Yeah, it, you know, all of it depends on who's at quarterback. You know, as much as I'd like to say, like, you know, we're going to do this, the past few games, and Brock, to his credit, has been very serviceable. He was not the reason, you know, we lost against the Lions. He was not the reason we lost against the Texans. He did not look great in the Jet game, but I wonder how conservative they wanted to be, knowing that the Jets were not, like, a massive threat.
Yeah.
So, but this is a team that probably needs Ryan Tannehill to come back to be a playoff team, and definitely needs him to come back if they want to have any shot at going deep in the playoffs, because we have talent. Like, I used to joke to my friends, the Dolphins lead the league in underperforming talent every year. But also, I think the first-round matchup, because, you know, if this is a repeat of 2016 and we open up at, like, at the Steelers in Pittsburgh,
yeah.
I don't think we have the talent to you know, go toe-to-toe with them. Even, you know, because I love the NFL playoffs. It really is, like, you know, one game, you know, you could make some noise. But realistically, like, we don't have the personnel.
Yeah.
That I think, you know, could win, like, a shootout or, like, a, you know, tough defensive game against, like, the Steelers.
So real quick before we get to the game things, in that sense, if you're saying right now you don't have that personnel, kind of what do you think, if you had to, obviously, you know, the off season eventually going to come up in the draft, what's, like, the one position, there's probably multiple, Lazarus, the Packers, like, what's the one position of, like, we need to build this up, like, right now?
Man, the past few years have just been me screaming at the Dolphins, like, linebacker, offensive lineman,
anyone, like, anyone,
screaming at them. And to be fair, they did some moves to address, you know, the offensive line in free agency. We brought in Kilgore, we brought in Sutton, both were on the injured reserve after two games.
Yep.
So, you know, once again, it's not like they're not listening and they're not trying. But you do have to build for that future. So I guess I'd have to say probably those two same positions. I like our defensive backs. I like Fitzpatrick. I like Xavien Howard as defensive backs. Kiko has been good. Kiko Alonso is just an absolute tackling machine. Mm-hmm. So, you know, maybe, like, you know, another linebacker to shore that up. I think any chance you get to get a quality offensive line, especially when you look around the league, the way you control the ball with the run and really kind of dictate the pace of the game. You know, that's what you want to do. And the offensive line goes a long way to doing that. I'd throw in running back just based on how much they're running Frank Gore over Kenyon Drake, which is shocking to me.
Yeah. All right. Fair enough. Fair. So that being said, Sunday.
Yeah.
And we got flexed. We got flexed into the 4 o'clock position.
That's exciting.
1 o'clock game. So I don't know if it's America's game of the week or if they're giving that to the Rams.
It should be. I'd say Brock Osweiler versus Aaron Rodgers is, you know, a rivalry as old as time
Oh, God. Yeah, it's good God. Yeah. The fact is like, this is the Packers, like, one of the few home games that they have, you know, in this past month. And like, I gotta say, like, I am actually super nervous about this game, and it's not even because it's the Dolphins. It's just because, like, it's the playoffs already for us, with us sitting at 3-4-1.
You're already on the brink,
like,
that's
horrifying. Because unlike the AFC, like, the NFC is super competitive, in which, like,
absolutely,
you can see, you know, just from our division alone, two teams going into the playoffs, and unless the Vikings and Bears start dropping stuff, yikes. We need to get our acts together. So, you know, this could be the turning point in which a lot of Packer fans are calling for McCarthy's head. If we lose, I don't think they'll fire him mid-season, but this could be the beginning
of the
end.
This could be it. I mean, he's always had a and I have a lot of friends who are Packers fans, even besides you, so I've always had, like, an ear to the ground on the Packers. He's always had, like, a kind of, like, uneasy relationship, it seems, with Aaron Rodgers, and because of Aaron Rodgers, probably with ownership. Would that be fair to say?
Yeah, I would say when it was good, it was good. But then I think the biggest problem right now, and listen, Mike McCarthy is a good head coach, that I will not deny that. But I think the play calling in these past 2 weeks has really shown how outdated his playbook is, in that you see the Rams, you see the Patriots kind of coming up with those plays, like how fast-paced that offense used to be.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's what we used to do. Like, that used to be like that unstoppable offense, and we haven't done that for years. And while I put it at a lot on McCarthy, you also, I think part of that has to get put on Rodgers as well, in that, like, he hasn't been playing the most amazing season. He wasn't playing great in 2015. You know, they got it done. The run the table thing is, like, the greatest thing I think I've ever witnessed of a guy going, okay, everyone, I'm just going to do this myself. You guys can chill for like 8 games, and I'm just going to go and win these 8 games. And that's why
you guys just catch the ball. Okay,
yeah. just be there, and and I'll make it
It'll
happen.
Be perfect. It'll be right in the numbers each time. Just put your hands up and the ball will find you.
Exactly. So, you know, I think that there's a lot of issues going on in Green Bay. And if we were to lose on Sunday, those issues are going to be exacerbated a lot. And I think while everyone's saying, like, you know, McCarthy's seat is warm. It's warm. It's warm. It's warm. This would, a loss here would make it very difficult to make the playoffs, and it would make his seat like fiery red.
It would just shovel 30 more pounds of coal underneath the flame.
Absolutely. So, how do you see this Sunday panning out with Brock Osweiler starting? You know, what do you got?
You know, Brocktober was really hilarious in October, and now it's November, and that's kind of the problem.
Now it's the start of Brockvember.
Yeah, like Brocktober, hilarious, gets the overtime win against the Bears, like really adequate. Like this is great.
10.
Now it's November, and Brocktober needs to end. Like I said, he hasn't been the issue at all. But, you know, Tannehill, it's just another level with this team that he can take them where, you know, that I don't think Brock Osweiler can. I can see the Dolphins either getting a blown out or this being a very low-scoring affair that the Dolphins wind up, like, stealing on the road. I'm really fascinated by this game because, you know, the Packers, while talented, I almost like they tend to play up or down to the competition.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm hoping that they, you know, they can play down to us and leave us, you know, almost like the Bears, just leave us hanging on just enough where we can, you know, go in and steal this thing.
Yeah.
Which would be a major coup for us because, you know, this is one of those games when you do the pick 'em at the start of the year. Dolphins and Green Bay, like, you know, at the time, like, I'm like, this is winnable, but we're probably not going to. Now I'm a little bit less sure about that win, but I still think it's maybe possible with the state of flux that the Packers are in. But that said, we're coming off, even though we won, we're coming off one of the ugliest games of football I've ever seen in my life from the Jets game. So this will be fascinating. I think if the defensive line with Cameron Wake and Quinn can keep Rodgers on his toes, I think we have a much better chance of pulling this one off, and we need to get something going on offense. We cannot look this anemic every week.
Well, the good news about that is you're going against the Packers defense, so you should that should provide you
This is a weirdly fascinating game. like the more I look at this, the more I'm like, this, because to be fair, like, we do have that margin of error.
Yeah,
like, we still do have, like, you know, 2 games against Buffalo and the Colts coming up.
Sure
But this would be one that, like, you know,
we don't. We don't have that margin.
No, you don't, but, like, you know, this would be one that, like, we could get this. This would be major.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I hear you.
Yeah.
Well, Joe, it's been fantastic talking to you, my good friend. I think
It's been an absolute pleasure.
I'm really looking forward to Sunday and seeing how this pans out, and if we can continue our friendship, we'll see.
Oh, the friendship will. We're not in the same conference. The friendship will.
That's true. That is very, very true. It's every 4 years. It just comes back around, and
just that you know, you just started yelling at me for all the stuff I did in college. And
yeah,
it's just,
be like, do you remember?
I realize you haven't forgiven me.
Exactly. That one time he left that towel out. Yeah, it's all going to come back. But
absolutely.
Where can the people find your beautiful face?
Excellent. All right. So, for people that don't know, I'm actually, I do a lot of comic book writing. You can find me on Twitter or at Instagram at Amazing J. Ciano. That's also my website name. Really good branding on my part.
Marketing 4-year-olds, take note.
It is It is. You know what? When you're making a football team, have something little kids can understand what it is.
Yeah, like cheese.
Don't have dumb looking jerseys and like lettering on like your helmets.
It's true.
Logo, like marketing, is everything, guys.
It's true.
As I look at like my Miami Dolphins like T-shirt like right next to me, being like, see,
you're like, I made a good choice.
That dolphin, listen, that dolphin like likes to play football and cares about player safety because he's wearing a helmet.
It's true. It's true. Yeah. He is a progressive dolphin.
I was a little shocked when they did the new logo that they took the helmet off it, especially in this age of, you know, player safety.
It's just showing that flag football will soon be upon us. And
yeah, that's why I think put the flags on him. Yeah, actually.
Exactly.
Like around him, you see like the little flags like dangling out.
Yep, that's it.
There you go.
All right, phenomenal. But Joe, thank you so much for coming on the show, bud.
The pleasure is absolutely mine. I hope you have a great rest of the season, except for Sunday.
Oh, right here, buddy. But listen, you know, if you beat us, just know that loss alone will absolutely fuel a bender that will not be seen the likes of again, and it will
send me
into a spiral of depression.
Don't do it.
Filled with alcohol. And it will never be able to fill a hole until next season.
Don't take that toaster down.
I might.
I need you not to do it.
I might. Say it. And like, and I'll just have like a plush dolphin in there with me, and I'll be like, "This is for you, Flipper." And
you did this.
Yeah.
You did this to me.
Look what you did.
You did this to me, Brock Osweiler. You've ruined me.
Yeah. Yeah, God, Brock. Oh, God, if we lose to Brock Osweiler, shoot me, fam. Just freaking kill me.
I can't believe we signed him. That was one of the funniest things in the entire world.
It's great.
If you want a good Brock Osweiler moment, just for you know the people listening, look up his hilarious pre-snap call when he was, I think it was when he came back with the Broncos the second time. And he sees the blitz coming, and he knows like they're not lined up correctly for it, and just goes up and he's just like, no! God damn it, no! It is incredible, and like that's why when we signed him, I'm just like, at the very least, we're getting Brock Osweiler's hilarious pre-snap calls.
That's it, and that's all you can ask from the man. He's already made all his money from like the Texans, so he's fine.
Oh, he could retire and like be a rich man for the rest of his life.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But he is here to potentially beat the Green Bay Packers.
But he's here quarterbacking my team. So
That's it. But
2018, ladies and gentlemen.
Pleasure, and I'll talk to you soon, bud.
All right, be well.
So check out Joe and his phenomenal comic book work, as well as his social media. The information will be in the description down below. You can always find me at TomGrossetComedy.com, TOMGROSSI Comedy, or TomGrossetComedy on the Twitter and the Instagram and the Facebook and the Patreon and all that great stuff. Also, if you want to save $20 on your first SeatGeek purchase on any ticket, could be for a concert, could be for a Packer game, could be for a Kraken's baptism, use the promo code Tom Grossi and you'll save yourself 20 smackaroonies. Podcasts are on SoundCloud, iTunes, Google Play Music, and of course here on YouTube several times a week, and we live stream every Packers game, so come on down this Sunday, check out the Packers-Dolphins game, and we can cry together. But thank you so much for watching. I'm Tom Grossi, and as always, go Pack, go.